everyone a very warm welcome this evening at our service. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord bless you. Brethren from Pakistani here in Northern Ireland, wherever you're watching in from, may the Lord bless you. And I want to just send my condolences. I don't know if anyone will see this or not, till the Walker family in Australia. Gary Walker, a pastor out in Australia. His wife went on to be with the Lord. And we want to respect our brother Gary at this time and pray that God will comfort him and the family. If you've never heard of Gary Walker has a tremendous testimony. He was killed in an automobile accident in a Jeep, and the Lord brought him back from the dead. And I have his book somewhere, some others in the fellowship might have his book as well. If you look up online, Gary Walker brought back from the dead, you'll be able to find it, what the Lord done for that man. And me and my father visited him in 2016. We were in his house. My Uncle John also preached in Gary Walker's church over in Australia. So we pray at this time that God will comfort our brother Gary and all the family at the passing of his precious wife at this time. Let's just bow our heads this evening while we do ask for the Lord's help. Father, we just bow before you in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that you are the great comforter, and we ask for comfort for Brother Gary and all the family at this time, Lord. We pray you'll be with them, that you'll strengthen them and bless them in the name of the Lord. Lord, we thank you this morning for your presence, for your visitation, for the word of God, and for your servant that brought the word of Brother Ian. Bless him, bless his family. For all those that came for prayer, may you complete a real work within them. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, as we enter to do a little series of meetings on you as our healer, may you open to us our understanding of the word of God and the will of God on these things. Lord, I ask you for wisdom and guidance, and I pray you will bless all the listeners and touch those that need a miracle touch in the name of the Lord. I do take the Holy Ghost to help me, and I thank you that you do in Jesus' precious name. Break every yoke of bondage in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for nurses and doctors, you bless and strengthen them. Pray for your own people, Israel, thy blessing upon them in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. God bless each one this evening is tuned in. If you want to go in your Bible to the book of Acts, chapter 4, and we know that the book of Acts is the blueprint of the church, and not only is it the blueprint for the church, it is the inauguration. The day of Pentecost was indeed the inauguration or the birth of the real church, praise God. Many people are ashamed of Pentecost, they don't want to be called Pentecost. Now there's a lot that claim to be Pentecost, but they're like an old preacher once said, they're plenty crossed, but they're certainly not Pentecost. But we want to be a Pentecostal people like they were here in the book of Acts of the Apostles. William Branham said, I am a pedigreed Pentecostal. And I really like that, a pedigreed Pentecostal. And I guess that Peter and John and Paul and all was as well, pedigreed Pentecostals. If you read through chapter 4 of the book of Acts, when you come down to verse 13, you'll see that the Sanhedrin commands Peter not to preach in the name of Jesus. You can do all the preaching you want, but don't preach in the name of Jesus. Then we take a reading up in verse 28 and 29 will be my specific verses this evening. And you can read through all of the chapter 4, verse 13 down to 32. Read through it all but I will highlight specific parts tonight as we study and look at the Word of God. And my title is Jesus Christ Our Healer, Part 1. There's more to follow. This is just a little small segment of what I want to share over the next few meetings. I will be continuing on and Wednesday nights from the thought God's only one provided way. I have still a little bit more to go with it, but I'm also going to run this message, Jesus Christ Our Healer, Part 1 tonight. Verse 28 then, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. I sincerely believe healing is an important part of the gospel. In addition to being born again, physical healing is an important part of the message of the gospel. How can we be sure of these things? Jesus Christ came to this earth to demonstrate the will and the plan of Almighty God. And we know by John 1 verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Acts 10:38, but you keep marked Acts 4, but Acts 10:38 tells us how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So when the Lord Jesus himself was here on earth, he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Jesus Christ, remember, was always in the center of his Father's will. He was never out of the Father's will. John 6:38 tells us, for I came from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. John 14:10, believest thou that, not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doth the works. In John 12:50, it also says, and I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Jesus Christ himself even said, he who has seen me has actually seen God. John 14:9. The Lord Jesus is saying, if you want to know what God's like, look at me. He that has seen me have seen the Father. You know, he said to Philip, said, show us the Father and suffices. And Jesus said, have I been so long with you, and do you not know me? He that have seen me have seen the Father. I want to read you a tremendous statement from the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's an expository of the seven church ages of William Warren Branham. But I want to just read you this phrase to get you this wonderful statement. Now that this is a revelation, Jesus is God. The Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus of the New. Now, no matter how hard you try it, you can't prove there's three gods. But it also takes a revelation by the Holy Spirit to make you understand the truth. He is one. It takes a revelation to know, to see Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus of the New. Satan crept into the church and blinded the people to this truth. And when they were blinded to it, it wasn't long until the Church of Rome stopped baptizing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we know, if you search church history, and I don't want to get off my subject, but if you search church history, you know in 325 AD that they fined the early disciples for Judaizing, and they forbid them to baptize anymore in the name of Jesus Christ, according to Acts 2:38. And here we've read an account this evening in Acts 4, for they tried to stop Peter preaching in the name of Jesus, but he would not be stopped, and he could not be stopped. Even in the midst of opposition and trial, he would not stop. But in the Nicene Council, they stopped the so-called church using the name of Jesus Christ, and they brought in a doctrine of a Trinity on three titles. But it is not in the Bible, and it's not in the Word of God. It is a man-made theology and a man-made tradition. I know some people won't want to hear that, but it doesn't bother me a bit, because I know it's absolutely the truth. All I have to do is throw a challenge out anywhere in the world. Show me one scripture, all in the Bible. One scripture after Jesus gave the Great Commission in Matthew 28. Show me one scripture wherever anybody was baptized using three titles. You cannot show me one place. There is none. It was always in the name of the Lord Jesus or Jesus Christ. Fulfilling Matthew 28. For the Father is the Lord, the Son is Jesus, the Holy Ghost is indeed the anointed Christ. One God in three offices. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, but one God. Galatians 2:9 tells us, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Jesus Christ brought righteousness and healing. Now I want you to look carefully at this scripture. And this scripture I want to look at this evening is Malachi 4 and verse 2. Malachi 4 and verse 2. And if you read Malachi 4 and verse 2, and let me say this, but unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. Excuse me. And ye shall go forth and grow up of calves of the stall. We read, but to you that fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. I believe this is a prophecy of the last days. As you read further along in the chapter, it leads you right up to the climax of the age. And I believe this prophecy is being fulfilled today, right now. This is the climax of the age we're living in today. To you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. We know that Jesus Christ indeed is risen from the dead, and he is absolutely the Son of Righteousness. In the natural world, the Son is the only source of light for the entire planet. In the spiritual world, Jesus Christ is the only source of life for you and me, for men and women. What does spiritual light bring? What does it bring? What does spiritual light bring? It brings righteousness and healing. Jesus Christ came to bring deliverance from sin and righteousness. Deliverance from sickness and healing in the body. The works of darkness are the opposite to the works of light. What is the opposite to righteousness? Sin. What is the opposite to healing? Sickness. These facts are very clear. It is important that we keep them in mind as we progress through the Word of God and study the Word of God. We need to know that these are absolute scriptural facts. Now, many people ask the question, why aren't some people healed? This is a good question, often asked, that we need to address. Why should some people don't seem to be healed? Deuteronomy 29, verse 29 tells us this, and I believe this is my answer. It might satisfy everybody, but I believe it's so true. The secret things which belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and our children forever, that we may do all the works of the law. I think this scripture explains some of the reasons some people don't get healed. It is a secret known only to God. Some people are not healed because it's a secret known only to God. You can fast and pray, and God might never show you the reason, because you can only take this Deuteronomy 29, and it is a secret known only to the Lord. If I was to say, some people, that, you know, it disturbs people, it throws them off, but let me put it like this. Why aren't everybody saved? Why is everybody Why is everybody not saved? Because you know and I know that ultimately that God knows everyone that's going to be saved. That Bible says he foreknew us and predestined us to become sons of God before the very foundation of the world. So there are secret things that belong only to God. Only God knows certain things. However, everything in Scripture belongs to us and to our children. That's what that Scripture says in Deuteronomy 29. So that we may act upon the Word of God that we do know, so that we may act upon the things that are shown to us. Let us discover, therefore, what is revealed in the Scriptures about healing. Let us search the Word of God and study the Word of God. And remember, the church should not be your absolute or some organization, but the Word of God should be your absolute. The Word of God is my absolute tonight. I believe, I want to encourage you to get personally involved in the matter of healing. I believe that the members of the body of Christ should come together and pray for healing. If any of the members are sick, the Bible says in the book of James, let them call for the elders of the church and let them anoint them with oil and pray over them, and the prayer of faith will save the sick and they shall be healed. Look how the disciples responded here. The apostles did in the book of Acts 4, which we read at the start of our service tonight. They were threatened not to speak in the name of the Lord Jesus. But look what took place for our example today. If you will follow, you will see the key that they wanted them not to use was the name of Jesus. That was the key. That was the key in Acts 4. They forbid them to speak in the name of Jesus Christ. Isn't it absolutely remarkable? Isn't it amazing? At 325 AD, at the First Nicene Council, that they forbid them to baptize in the name of Jesus Christ. And here in the book of Acts, chapter 4, they forbid them to speak in the name of Jesus. And remember Acts 2:38, repent ye therefore, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The devil does not want you or me to use the name of Jesus. You see, the name of Jesus was the key to preaching. And the key to the power of God is the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. I tell you, the Bible says, if you lay hands on the sick, Mark 16, in the name of Jesus, they shall recover. It is the key to preaching for salvation. It is the key to preaching for healing. The Bible says there's no other name given under heaven whereby man must be saved other than the name of Jesus Christ. That's why the devil wants it diluted out of the churches. And he wants to give you a few titles. He doesn't mind the title. You can call a title over a devil. You can wet him. You can do whatever you want with him. It won't fizz him one bit. But when you approach him in the name of Jesus, the name that is above every name. And remember, the angel came to Mary and said, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. If you take the name of Jesus out of the preaching, the power goes out as well. Here's the reason. Every promise of Almighty God is valid only in the name of Jesus. Are you hearing me tonight? Every promise of Almighty God is only valid in that name. Think of it like this. This is a simple example. Think if you have a checkbook. You can write on that checkbook £1,000, £2,000, or dollars, whatever you want to put on it, wherever you live. But that check will never be of any value or of any use until you sign your name under the amount. There's a place on the page that you have to sign your name. You cannot withdraw the cash. The check is only a piece of paper without the sign. presence of God in him, or yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. Acts 4:17. But that it spread no further among the people, let us greatly threaten them, and they speak henceforth no more, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. I tell you, the devil does not want you to preach Jesus. Doesn't want you to pray for the sick. He wants you just to be a formal, dilly-dally Christian. A mannequin, if he can. But God wants you to be like those in the book of Acts. After Philip preached Christ unto them, the Bible says, devils cried out, and there was great joy in that city. Now confronted by this situation, the leaders of the early church went back to their group, which could have still been meeting in the upper room at that time. The leaders called for a special prayer meeting. My brothers and sisters, I know it's hard to get somewhere to meet, but it is high time that we had some special prayer meetings. I want you for a moment to travel with me into this time here in the book of Acts, into this special prayer meeting. Come with me this evening, Acts 4:24. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God in one accord, and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and sea, and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage? Why did the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For all for truth against thy holy child Jesus. That makes me feel really good as I read that wonderful, beautiful name, thy holy child Jesus. Hallelujah. Whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. Now here's our prayer in verse 29. Read it with me in your Bible at home. I challenge you, be sincere. Read this verse with me now this evening. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Hallelujah. By stretching forth thy hand to heal, glory to God, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. Look at verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and speak the word of God with boldness. If we read verse 29 and 30, not just for the sake of reading it, but as a prayer for you and me to get involved with the work of God and in your life in this world, when you're really sincere, when you pray this verse 29 and verse 30 in absolute sincerity, you will be involved. This prayer is a life-changing prayer. This prayer is powerful. This prayer, pray it right. This prayer, pray it sincerely, will bring the power of God into your life and into your situation. I challenge you, I'm asking you, will you pray this prayer? Will you read it in your Bible sincerely from your heart as a prayer right now before Almighty God? I tell you, I can feel the presence of the Lord right now in this little upper room. The power of God is in this very room. I'm not just saying it. I know it. I know the presence of the Lord is here. I trust you're feeling the presence of the Lord right now, wherever you are. This is a mighty prayer. It changed the lives of these early disciples who petitioned the Lord. They petitioned the Lord. We need men and women to petition the Lord. We don't need prayers that pray via Kara, via Rome, via India. We don't need them type of prayers. We need specific praying, specific prayers. Prayers that will bring God on the scene. We're confronted with opposition. There must be a breakthrough. There must be a breakthrough. Are you confronted with opposition and you need a breakthrough, they specifically ask, Lord, will you stretch forth your hand to heal? They ask God this in their prayer. Oh, my, if God never fails. And will you grant signs and wonders to be done in the name of thy holy child, Jesus? It takes a certain amount of courage to pray that kind of a prayer and really mean it. God wants us to pray a prayer of commitment. We must really be sincere and mean what we pray. The disciples' prayers were pacific. They were pacific. Let's read this prayer again and let's all pray to God in absolute sincerity. I'm going to read it again. I want you to hear it. I want the words of God to come over you. I want the power of the Holy Spirit to go through you right now. As I read this prayer from the book of Acts, I'm going to read it sincere. I'm going to read it real. I want God to do something. I want God to come on the scene this evening in verse 29. And verse 30, praise God. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. Lord, that sickness might disappear, that cancers might go, that growths might disappear in the name of thy holy child, Jesus. Grant it, Lord. They were sincere. I'm sincere. Are you sincere? God is able to do it. If you prayed this prayer sincerely, believe right now, from this moment, that your life will be different, changed. That something's took place, that something's happened. The power of God's real. I'm coming to close this evening. This is just my introductory message on Jesus, our healer. He's wonderful. He never fails. He cannot fail. Whatever your need is tonight, pray this. Mark this in your Bible. Mark Acts 4, 29 and 30. Pray it. Read it in the morning. Look over it. Study over it. Make it your thoughts, your meditation. Be sincere. Be real. Ask God if there's anything in your life that's wrong, that He'll forgive you, that He'll cleanse you, that He'll wash you. And God cannot fail. Believe Him. Expect a miracle. Expect a change. Hallelujah. Let us bow this evening before the Lord. Father, I thank you for the wonderful sense of your anointing and your presence tonight. Lord, I just sense you're so close this evening in this very room. Father, I'm asking in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you will indeed stretch your arm forth with signs and wonders and miracles in the name of thy holy child, Jesus. Lord, that divers miracles may be done. May the cysts disappear. May growths disappear. May cancers disappear. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I know that some people think we're on, we're crazy. But these disciples refused, they refused to stop speaking in your name. And when they prayed this prayer, the Holy Ghost shook the house and filled them. Oh God, fill us again. As we heard this morning, bring your vessel, God will fill it. Lord, we come. We come to you. We're not coming to church leader or some system, but we're coming to the man, the child Jesus. Hallelujah. The carpenter's son, the man of Calvary, the Lord of lords, the King of kings, the lily of the valley, the rose of Sharon. tonight. Father, stretch your arm forth over my brother, over my sister. Answer their prayers. Bring a miracle into their home. Bring a miracle into their lives. Transform the situation. You're a miracle worker. You're a wonder worker. You're an amazing God. And we love you tonight with all of our hearts because you first loved us. Lord, we're nobody, but you're everybody. Lord, we're nothing, but you're everything. And yet you told us that we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Father, I pray it in the name of Jesus Christ. Ask you for Brother Ian as he goes tonight to testify in the Wheat Mason Hall. Pray you'll give him boldness. Pray you'll bless him. Bring his remembrance, the thing you want him to say. Touch the lives on the hearts of men and women in the name of Jesus Christ tonight. And whoever the wee brother is that's preaching, give him a real touch of the Holy Ghost and use him for your glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. God bless you all this evening. Praise God. God bless you all this evening. And those brothers that's going tonight, I believe it's the Brickland Mason Hall, 8 o'clock. And Brother Ian's going to be testifying. And we do pray the Lord will bless that little service. I trust God has blessed you tonight. Whatever your problem was, I want you to believe as you prayed from chapter 4 of Acts 29 and 30 that God will do for you and me what he done for these early disciples. Remember, we are able to pray it because the Word of God says in Hebrews 13 and 8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you didn't get a chance to come to our morning service, tune in. It was a wonderful message this morning, and it was such a blessing. Our brother Matthew will be putting it up soon on the church webpage of Mega Ministry Banbridge, and we just thank the Lord for the presence and the blessing of the Lord. We're going to have a little song here before we switch off tonight. It's Come to the Savior. And I appreciate Brother Gary and Sister Ruth and all the family with these songs. God bless you all this evening. Yeah. we meet again. Tune in on Wednesday night, the Lord willing, and He is always willing. Then, brothers and sisters, as you go, take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then, wherever you go. Joy on earth, hope of heaven. Praise God. God bless you all this evening.